Welcome, welcome. First time. How many first-time visitors here? Never been here before? First-timers? Please come back next week. I live in New York. I'm only here every once in a while. I'm surprised he still trusts me. So do not judge this church by today. He's great. There's great people. I've been shot twice, thrown off of a building, stabbed four times, got shot in Syria. I just got back from Afghanistan a couple months ago, heading to Yemen in January. So when I talk to you today, I'm kind of right in that middle ground of seeing probably more than I should have. Some of the doctor said, you know, you're borderline PTSD. I said, no, I don't think I'm borderline at all. It's going to be a different kind of a day today. I will be addressing some things that after 50 years of doing this and realizing that water boils at 212 degrees, not 209, not 210, but when water hits that last final degree, something happens to the water. Still the same chemical composition, but the water changes appearance, form, shape, all of it. Because many of you here have prayed for the Lord to change you. Do you really understand what that means? I think not. I've done this a little bit too long, folks. It's a little bit too long. After you've seen 23 people murdered in front of you, like I have, you think different, you speak different, your mindset is just different. And so my prayer today for this service, so I'm doing three different messages, be a different message in the next service as well, is that we will all see something this Thanksgiving week differently. Simple prayer, simple. What does it take to see through a different set of eyes? I said water boils at 212. So when that happens, when it hits that final degree, the water changes forms so dramatically that it would be basically unrecognizable compared to what it was like only 1 degree prior. So my prayer for this service is that you will see something, that the Lord will drop something in your spirit that will be your 212 degree moment. You okay with that? You good with that? That's where we're headed. So I think we have, where did my stuff go? Oh, it's down somewhere. There it is. Okay. All right. You're really not a guest speaker, thanks, sir. Unless you're selling something, that's the true test of whether you've arrived as a guest. So not to be outdone by these other knuckleheads, I too have the usual potpourri of missionary paraphernalia at the back table. I'm not going to say a lot about it, just in the interest of time. We just got another box of books just from the last service. The new book, it's a hardback book, Elephants of Relevance. It's my only hardback book, just because it's the kind of book that will irritate people and aggravate them. So if you're helping them to read the book and they get angry with you, I made it a hardback so you can just hit them in the head with it. It is a multi-purpose book, part intellectual, part weapon. And so a couple of those out there, whose child is this in the crosshairs? A lot of stuff out there. I'll hang out after the service for a few moments. And then, of course, can we get a close-up of that, guys, if you will? The sponsorship, of course, many of you over the years have sponsored some of our kids. I don't think thank you really is enough. And I say that because when you see the kids that you guys have sponsored and you've seen the difference firsthand, like I have for all these years, Pastor and I were talking about it in between the services, of kids that started with me when they were little, 40 years ago, are now youth pastors, kids pastors, working at our staff in New York City, married each other, started Christian families. That's the end result, folks, of this. It's a $33 a month commitment. You can be as involved in the life of the child as you choose to be. Because all of our team members live with these kids where they are, we are not part-time missionaries. We don't spend a month there and then 11 months back in the States. We all live in all of these places that you will see and hear about today. And Paul, give me that first picture, if you will, please. I wanted to show you this. We found this little girl in the Philippines, and I wanted to talk to you about the Philippines because we have some of the kids from the garbage dump in Manila and the North Cemetery. You got 1,000 squatters that live inside the North Cemetery. I'll be taking 50 people with me in March. I do that every year. If any of you sponsor a kid from the Philippines, you can go visit them, spend time with them. But this little girl's Ruby Rose. Give me another one, Paul, if you will give me the next picture. And she was born not overly uncommon in some of these parts of the world, but in the Philippines, you guys know, these people have no insurance. They have no way to take care of their own kids. And I'm going to hesitate there for just a minute, because this is real easy to get lost in everything that I do. When you are around these kids all the time and you realize that unless somebody from somewhere steps in, this is how she will live for the rest of her life, because there aren't other options when you don't have the wherewithal to take care of your own kids. We got a sponsor 2 years ago on a Sunday morning, just like this, middle-aged couple, great people. They said, we're not wealthy. I said, you don't need to be. I need you to pray for her. And they did a fundraiser similar to the one I talked about in the first service by the young folks. Give me another one, Paul. And we were able to get her into surgery. You got the next picture, Paul? If you can get that for me. They were able to go in, break her foot. It was a very difficult operation. If you guys are familiar with this, give me the next one, Paul. And we got her back in school, and they kept working and working on that foot. And I think we have another one, Paul. Can you give me? And so, yeah, you can give the Lord a praise. This was taken about a month ago. And so I wanted you to see this quickly just so you can see. It's always been about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things. I've been around the hot shots all my life. Been around the hot shot preachers. I was with Billy Graham years ago. Him and I were preaching in Dallas. This was at least 40 years ago. You would be shocked at what an ordinary guy Billy Graham was. And so the people that I'm kind of around now in this day and time disturbs me a bit, because I've done this long enough to know that it's the ordinary folks, like that couple that sponsored Ruby Rose. That's what makes this happen. You can take it down, Paul. Thank you. So I'll be out there after the service. I've got kids from Metro Philippines. We have a few of those left. We have some of the kids from Metro Kenya. And I always say this, and I will continue to say it as long as I keep coming here to share with you guys. Pastor, thank you. Thank you. Like I said, I don't really think thank you quite does it. I wish there was something else I could say. But I think you know my heart. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to get your Bibles out quickly, if you will, please. I want you to get your Bibles out to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. I tried to talk about this a little bit when I was here a few times ago. I don't think I really was able to do with it what I wanted to do with it. So I wanted to take a few moments today, particularly now, going into the holiday season, and just ask you a question. What do you see We were talking in the first service of when I was shot in Syria. And the Israelis helicoptered me to Jerusalem, took me to a hospital there. And the Jewish nurse, great girl, we had some really good conversations the couple of days I was there. She was asking me, why do you go to these places? You know the risk. I've got Yemen coming up in this next go-around. She said, do you see something? Don't miss this. Do you see something that compels you? She actually used the word compels, which it was interesting, her choice of words there, that would compel you to go and do what you do. And we had some really good conversations those 3 days that I was in that hospital. But one of the things that I brought to her attention was this 20th chapter of John, because this was the first Easter that you and I would call it that. And three of Jesus's closest friends come to the empty tomb. They look in the tomb. Now, remember, guys, these three people, Mary, Peter, and John, they knew the man. Don't miss this. They heard his message. They saw the miracle. I don't know if any of you have ever witnessed the miraculous or seen a real miracle live, real time. I'm not talking about hearing about it on TV. I'm not talking about reading it in a book. And he knows what I'm going to say here. If you have not seen the miraculous yourself, I pray, before you die, you will have that privilege. Because if you witness the miraculous, it all changes, folks. It all changes. They knew who Jesus was. They knew the man, his message. They'd seen him raise people from the dead. When I got hit with a brick here, it was years back in Brooklyn, busted my cheekbone, broke three of these teeth out. I just got the new ones paid off. They look good though, right? It's finally got them paid for. But out of that little mess was a robbery over on DeKalb Avenue. And a blood clot had cut off the optic nerve in this right eye. I was blind for 3 months in my right eye. I don't know if I can really put that over to you guys of what that did or that, not even what it did. But remember, I've done this my whole life. This is 50 years for me in the ministry. So I'm not the new guy. And I'm not a quitter. I don't even like quitters. If you're going to quit, don't start. Let me say that again for the cheap seats, okay? If you're going to quit, don't start. If you're going to start something, guys, follow it through. Mm-hmm. See, that's old school. I just turned 71 a couple of weeks ago. Now that I'm this old, cranky old man, I've been waiting all my life to be 71. See, because when you're young, you can't be cranky. But when you're old, you can do what you want. Come on, Jesus. I like getting old. Nobody bothers me now. And it's good that nobody bothers me. And I was blind in his eye for 3 months. That's the closest I ever came to quitting. I was frustrated. I was tired. You ever just been wore out? Just wore out. I was wore out, man. I was wore out. And I'd actually got a ticket. I was leaving JFK on a Monday morning. And it was, what, Sunday night? I couldn't sleep. I knew my whole life was changing. And I set the alarm for 6 a.m. to go to the airport. Couldn't sleep. I remembered looking at the clock, it was 3 a.m. Still couldn't sleep. And I guess I drifted off a little bit. So the alarm goes off at 6. I reach over, turn it off, turn on the light, and then I saw it. My pillow was covered with blood, and I could see fine out of both eyes. Somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., God came. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better give God a praise. Mm-hmm. Yep. So for those of you that are a little slow on the uptake and don't believe in real miracles, I'll slap you myself. You are looking at a living miracle, folks. You didn't think a miracle would look like this, did you? I understand. It's a little disheartening. I've walked away from 3 plane crashes. Nobody walks away from 3. Okay? So understand what you got here today. All right? So, in this 20th chapter, 3 of Jesus's closest friends, they knew the man, they heard the message, they saw the miracles, they show up at the empty tomb on that first Easter. They look in, and I wish I'd have been there, because if I'd have been there, I'd ask them the same question I'm fixing to ask you. What do you see? I'm going to keep poking you with this till we get out of here. What is it exactly that we will see this holiday season? What do you see, Mary? You knew the man. How about you, Peter? What do you see? You walked on water. You think you'd get it? How about you, John? Take a look at this. See if this makes sense to you guys. Look at verse 1. Pick it up. Mary's there in verse 1 of the 20th chapter. She sees the stone was moved from the sepulcher. So, here we go. Stone's moved. Tomb's empty. Mary sees it. She looks in. And in your Bible, whatever translation you read, I read the King James. That's the one Jesus read. And for the rest of you that read some of these bogus translations, this will help you. All right? So work with me here. I'm going to walk you through this. That word see or seeth in this first verse is the Greek word blepo, B-L-E-P-O. Why is that important? Because the word blepo means to see but not understand what you're looking at. See with your eyes, you recognize it's there, but you don't grasp what you're seeing. This word is used when Mary looks in. Why? Because she's looking at the empty tomb. Oh, stone's moved. Oh, tomb's empty. But she doesn't get it. So I ask all of you, how is that possible? Think with me, guys. She knew the man. She saw the miracle. She heard the message. And now she's looking at what you and I would call a fulfilled prophecy. Yes? Because she heard Jesus say what he was going to do. Now she's seeing it. Blepo. She doesn't get it. Can anybody here tell me? How's that work? Because I don't get it, guys. How is it anybody should have understood what she was looking at? Give me a picture, Paul. Give me the next picture real quick. She looks. She doesn't get. We found this little guy in Kenya a couple months ago. See him hugging that pile of dirt? Give me the close-up of that, Paul. You got a close-up? Yeah. See, he'd been eating dirt for 4 days. Our staff member found him in the field eating dirt. What do you think she did? She didn't have to go to a conference. Boy, there's so much I'd love to say today. You are so lucky we're almost out of time. You have no luck idea how fortunate you actually are. What? She didn't have to read a book. Didn't have to go to a conference. She picks him up, takes him back to the metro office, and guess what she did? She fed him. What a revelation, huh? Yeah. What do you see, Mary? Take it down, Paul. She looks in the empty tomb. Blepo. She doesn't get it. Now, look at verse 6 real quick. Look at verse 6. Peter comes to the tomb. He goes into the sepulcher. He sees the linen clothes, the grave clothes, the empty grave clothes. Now, watch this. Peter shows up, he looks in, empty grave clothes. And in your Bible, it's the same word, see or seeth, in verse 6 as it was in verse 1. Yeah? The problem is, it's not in the Greek. In the Greek, when Mary looks in, it was blepo. She saw with her eyes, but she didn't get it. Verse 6, this is the Greek word theorio, which is actually where we get the English word theory. Peter looks in, he goes, oh, grave clothes, empty, he's not here. Did he rise? I don't know. I want to believe it, but I'm not sure. I'm trying. I want to figure. So what's he doing? He's trying to build a what? A theory? Is it real? Is it not? Did he rise or not? Now, here's the guy that walked on water. Would you like me to elaborate? Because I'd love to. How is it? You see the man, you hear the message, you witness the miraculous, you walk on water, my God. And now he's looking at the same thing Mary saw. She only saw with her eyes. Peter saw with his mind. I think he was from California. I can't prove that, but I'm pretty sure. And that's all I'm going to say to her. What do you see, Peter? You tell me. How is it then that for all those of us that have been around for a while can see what would appear to some as the obvious, and yet to others, not even close, right? How's that possible, folks? What do you see, Mary? She's with her eyes. I was in Romania. And, Paul, I think we got a picture. You got another picture? Let me see. Yeah. This was a couple of winters ago. We do what we call a warm feet project. When I found these kids in the wintertime without shoes, I thought, you know what? We can come up and figure out something here. And we made a deal with some guys in China, because everything's made in China. And it just is. So we hooked this deal with some boots. Give me another one, Paul. So now we do Sunday school. I made this little dopey foot. I don't even know what you call it. Like a measuring thing, I guess. So we do Sunday school for the kids that live in these Roma villages. And then afterwards we measure their feet. And we got one more picture, Paul, of the kid. Yeah. And we're able to get these kids some boots. Simple little thing. Simple. Boots are like, $6 bucks. We have women in Switzerland and Germany that spend all year knitting socks. Take it down, Paul. Thanks. And how does stuff like this happen? Exact same way the pastor made a mention today, that if folks need some help. You've heard me say it here before. The need is the call. Because I know people that have spent a lifetime waiting for God to call them. Nothing sadder than a 60, 70, 80-year-old person that had an opportunity to see something and do something. The man that picked me up off the street when my mother left me. Yeah. He saw something in me that my own mother didn't see. His own kid was in the hospital dying of leukemia, but he still stopped, picked me up. What do you see, Mary? She just sees with her eyes. What do you see, Peter? Sees with his mind. Sees with his mind. But last, look at verse 8. John comes in, the other disciple, and he saw. It's that word saw there, it's a different Greek word again. That word there in verse 8 is the Greek word eido, E-I-D-O, silent E in the Greek. What does eido mean? The transliteration of this is perfect. It's right on. He saw comma, and believed. Boom, boom. He saw and believed. What makes the difference, folks? I'm asking you sincerely. What makes the difference between the folks that saw the miraculous, because they all did. They heard the message first person. They all did. They saw the miracle. Mary, she couldn't put the pieces together. Peter tried. He was trying to figure it out. But John looks in, sees the same thing the other two saw. He looks in and goes, he's alive. He's alive. We used to sing an old song. We don't anymore. We need to sing some of the old songs. That's what happens when you get old. You just like the old stuff. Remember the old song? He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I do. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives in my heart. Some of you remember it? Some of you young people, you don't know nothing. Shame on you. He lives in my heart. Why do you think I go back to that street corner? The pastor mentioned it in the first service every Christmas Eve, because I called him last year. I call people. I stay up all night. I sit in the same place for 3 days. When I sat there for 3 days, I sit there all night Christmas Eve in the same spot I sat there for those 3 days. I just call people. Wish them Merry Christmas. Tell them I'm praying for them. And I've been criticized for going back there year after year. Why do you do that? Why do you go back? You're torturing yourself. Shut up. No idea. You don't know me. You know why I go back to that corner every Christmas Eve? Because I never want to forget where I came from. That, my friends, was a defining moment. That ordinary Christian that picked me up. What do you see, Mary? Lepo. Yeah. How about you, Peter? What do you see? Theorio. He's trying. He's building a theory. But then John looks in. Ido. He saw and he believed. So when that nurse in Syria kept asking me, what do you see when you go to these places? What moves you to go to these places that these other folks don't go? Do you get it now? Yeah. Because I was the kid that was overlooked. I was the kid that everybody looked. Do you know how many people walked by me those 3 days? Oh, and the 238,000 we had in Sunday school last week. Here's the backstory. Think about this. Because everybody looks at me. I'm the guy on TV. I'm the guy that writes the books. I get it. That's my role. I still drive the bus. I'll always drive the bus. Yeah. But they go, how come? What is all this? Why do you keep doing this? How does all this work? You understand it now, don't you? Yeah. When I saw those kids, give me a picture, Paul. I think we've got some of those Yemen kids. I saw the little boy holding that water like it was gold. And I saw the money that had been sent to go to Yemen that never fed the kids. And you've got hundreds that are found dead in the street every week. You got another one, Paul? We got this. I think we have one last picture. You want to know? You want to know why I do what I do? You want to know why I go where I go? You're looking at it, man. What do you see? So I ask you one last time. And I'll tell you what I told the folks this morning in first service. When you wake up this Thanksgiving, be very thankful, my friends, that you live in the United States of America, that you live here, that you have a church like this, that you have leaders like this. Be thankful. Be thankful. So why am I going there? You know now, don't you? You betcha. You bet. So my prayer this holiday season is for you to just see through a different set of eyes. 212. Because when you hit 212, it just changes, doesn't it? Yeah. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I know I should have been gone a long time ago. I'm very aware of that. Very aware. And yet in the quietness of the moment, I pray for my friends today. Lord, when we get up on Thanksgiving morning, we'll take just a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. I thank you, Lord. There's some of us in this room today. We shouldn't even be alive. We should have been gone. But we're here. By your grace. By your grace, we're here. So I pray that you'll open the eyes of our heart. Let us see it. Let us see what you need us to see.